Jack and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about real estate inheritance. Like it or not, if you are a real estate investor or an aspiring real estate investor, get comfortable with the fact that you're going to buy real estate from deceased people and deceased people's heirs. It's just how it works.
It's the coolest thing as an heir, by the way, I think, to find out that there's these assets sitting around, and it happens all the time. You know, you joke about it's like finding $5,000 in your coat pocket.
Yeah.
That's what it is to these people. It's the coolest thing, you know, and it's it's so common, I think, especially rural vacant land. There's so many people, I think, out there that own property, bought property, like they were going to do their dream cabin. Like it's very common. It was a something they planned on doing and then they never did. It's paid for and just sitting there.
Right.
And they've quietly been paying the taxes for years and years and years, knowing that, well, it's going to go to the kids. You know, you and I even look at things like right now, we're nowhere near, you know, this point in our lives, but we're looking at assets now because we're not 20 and we have kids. Mm-hmm. We're actually looking at some of our assets as we take them on going, you know what, this would be good to have for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, so, but fortunately, we know the right way to set it up for the kids so the kids know how to work with it. And I know this is what we're going to cover part of it in this show today.
Exactly. We'll cover it all.
Thank you.
We'll take we'll just call this the Jack and Jill Mythbuster episode. There's lots of myths.
I like this.
About wills and estates and all of it. And trusts.
Cool.
Before we get into that, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Mike M. asks, hi, all. My current business structure is a DBA for my land business.
Doing business as?
Of an underlying LLC online retail. Right. When purchasing property, what name should I put on the deed? My own? The DBA? Or the LLC? It's a good question. What are the tax implications on each? I'm about to close on the sale of my first property and the property of my second, the first for this year, and I want to get things off on the right foot tax-wise. Thanks in advance, Mike.
Good question, Mike. So there are certain legal entities that can own real estate, own real property. You as an individual can own real property. A trust can own real property. An LLC can own real property. So there's only certain entities that can own real property. And that's about, I mean, there's a few other ones, but those are the major ones. A DBA is just a doing business as kind of, hey, state of X. I'm doing business as this, but my LLC, the LLC is behind it.
Right.
So DBA cannot own real estate at all. And the reason that you set up an LLC is it's called a limited liability company because you want to limit your liability. If something happens that's non-criminal in nature and somebody's got some legal things to say about it, they address it with the LLC, not you specifically. And that's what a limited liability does for you. So buying property in an LLC is the right way to do it. That's all Jill and I do. Do you own any property in your name, Jill?
No.
I don't either.
Never have.
I don't own any property, mm-mm, any real estate, not even cars and stuff, I don't think, mm-mm, for the most part.
Nope.
So everything's in an LLC to limit the liability. And to answer the last part of your question, that LLC files its own tax return. And you can do a sub-S election. There's lots of different ways, but speaking from experience and cutting to the chase, the more stuff that you put in an LLC, the better off you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Keep your personal stuff out of it, including your mortgage, including your primary residence. You really limit the problems that you could potentially have.
Yep.
Tax-wise, you know, I really think it makes sense. Do you really need to ask and make sure that you have a good tax person? But having an S election, this is how we do it, with an S election, and the LLCs roll up all into it.
Right. I'm glad you're thinking about this now too, Mike. You're obviously in. Yeah. I mean, you're this far down the path.
Exactly.
You probably have your website. You know, you know you're doing it. So finish the thought, you know, and have your tax person now and lined up. And as then by the end of the year, I mean, it's going to be a piece of cake. You will have done it all and set it all up correctly, and it's just going to be easy for you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Today's topic, real estate inheritance, what you need to know and what you just can forget about. This is the meat of the show. Like I said earlier, like it or not, you're going to be buying property from dead people. And there's a lot of things that happen, a lot of choices that people can make to set up their estate, so to speak, that makes this really easy, or it makes it a big, huge mess. Here's a perfect example of what Jill and I see every single week. An heir calls us and says, "My dad recently passed away. I was looking through all of his stuff at his desk, and I came across this 40 acres that he owns in Arizona. And I opened the file. I didn't even know he owned it. And I opened the file, and your letter's there. It's an offer for $8,222 that you sent over in 2008. You know, if that offer's still valid, I'd love to do it." And the first thing that we say, our staff says, or Jill says to the seller, or to the son, is it in your name? And he says, "Oh, no, it's not in my name, but that doesn't matter.
It's mine. I inherited it.
Because I have a will. My dad willed all of his assets to me. I'm the only heir."
Right.
And that's when Jill says, "Oh,
it's not that easy.
Love the real estate. I love the price. And I love that your motivation. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take a pass."
Yeah.
A will does nothing to help us at all.
Exactly. Congratulations.
What dad should have done.
You can sit on your piece of property and read the will.
And granted, we can't choose when we die. So a lot of this happens this way. But what dad should have done is either set up a trust, or he should have put Junior's name right on the deed.
Yeah.
You know, two people can own real estate. Two
JTROS,
entities can own. Right.
Right out of the gate.
And then Jill gets excited and buys the real estate, and there's nothing to do. So can that be undone? Yeah, it mm-hmm. can. And every state's different. There are ways that certain states you can go through an express probate or file probate documents. There's a lot of, regardless of where you are, there's a lot of stuff that has to go on. Mm-hmm. And in some states, Arizona's one of them, it's almost impossible to get it out of that person's name without spending a few thousand dollars and 6 months in legal proceedings. So more often than not, we just pass. Mm-hmm. This is one of the major reasons why there's so much back tax property that comes up available for sale.
Ding, ding. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is what a lot of people who we know them that started out going, "Oh, back taxes, I'm only going to hit those up." And then they realize, all I'm finding are these problem properties. Well, this is a beautiful example, and it's true. This is what you're finding.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they're in back tax situations. No one wants to deal with it.
Ding, ding,
it's going to cost too much money and take too long, and now it's not worth it. And you just wasted a lot of time.
Junior's saying, "You know what?
I'm just going to let it go.
I have a job and a life. And this $8,000 that this property, my dad, it's just not worth it."
Right. It's going to cost me 6 months and $3,000.
Yeah.
Forget it.
That's exactly right, Jill. Uh-huh.
And that's what happened.
So now here's the good news. We have some members who have made it their career to undo these problems for people for free. So in Junior's case, we have a specific member in Colorado. And what she does is she says, "You know what? I will solve this for you. I'm going to pay you $100. And I'm going to pay all the fees to get this back to where it needs to be. Please sign this. Guarantee me that you're going to sign everything that I send to you. And I'm going to give you $100 and we're going to make this whole thing go away for you." So you can make a career out of this.
Right.
We have chosen not to do that for a bunch of reasons. But my whole point to the show is this. If you get to know these laws and these rules and how to undo them mm-hmm. and how to locate the people who are actually going through this and help them, mm-hmm. you can do very, very, very well. Mm-hmm. There's a whole little subsection of real estate investors that make a career out of this. Mm-hmm. Just like tax liens is a subsection.
Exactly.
Did you have a story? Before the show, you were talking about a story, talking to sellers, and they're not yet deceased.
Right.
They're older sellers.
And right. Yeah, you covered the items, but that's why I was just thinking, this is something I do all the time when I talk to people and they're calling and they want to sell their, they think they want to sell their property, we're not at the right price or whatever it is. You know, one of the things I do for them is, you know, say they're 92, they always share this stuff. And I'll say, look, just, you know, thank you very much. I'm nice talking to you. And she's like, I'm going to keep it for the kids. It doesn't work for me. But I will really at least try to help the kids and say, look, Mrs. Smith, please promise me you're going to at least put it in your daughter's name now or put in a trust or something because you're 92. If you don't do it before you pass, they're not going to be able to work with it. So I try to help the sellers and tell them that, you know, it's just, that's just me, but they need to do that. So that was my little story. I've done that many times trying to help people.
Here's a tip. If you have parents who have a lot of assets like this and you want to avoid all the problems, I mean, start to finish, avoid every single problem and taxation. Now, you didn't hear this from me, by the way. Confirm what I'm about to say with your
lawyer. You do know that this is on like iTunes and everything, right? And all over, everywhere.
Let's say you have another thing that happens all the time is someone passes away and the surviving spouse has no idea that they've been collecting real estate for 42 years.
Right? Oh, that is the funniest thing. That's so true. Like, how are they going to do with all this?
The best possible thing that you can do, if you have a bunch of real estate and you want to pass it on to your children, is to re-deed the property in both of your names as joint tenants. Yeah. So if you and Junior own 4,000 acres in Texas and you pass away, he immediately owns 100% of it, and it's a non-taxable event. It happens at the moment of your death. He owns everything. Joint, yes, file no paperwork, joint tenants with rights of survivorship, JTROS. And it's for $12, you can file a deed. It's a service we could provide.
And you could put 3 people on there, 4 people on there, 5. Yeah. So what it means is, say there's 3 of you on there. Say it's you, your wife, and your son. So what happens is, if one of you passes, now the other 2 assume the rest of it. Now they own it 50-50, basically. And like Jack said, they have to do nothing. It's really nice. So when it comes time that they decide they want to sell it, so maybe the third, now the next person passes, and then the one person is left, same thing, he gets the whole thing. And then when he sells it, he's the only one that needs to sign. And well, you know, you want to show too show that these people passed on and all that good stuff, get a copy of all that good stuff. But
you can do it with bank accounts, you can do it with cars, any type of asset, whether it's real or personal, real property or personal property. You simply add somebody to the title or to the deed, and now you both own it, and it transfers. Mm-hmm. It's a non-taxable event. So I can't express that enough. If you just sign a will, one single piece of paper, I will everything to my son. Mm-hmm. There's huge estate tax issues, and probate issues, and all kinds of stuff that goes on.
Exactly.
So are we oversimplifying? Yeah, but what's important here is that as a potential real estate investor or an existing one, if you're an existing one, you know all about this. It's really, really important to be aware of the fact that this is reality. Mm-hmm. And what people really think, especially if people pass away unexpectedly, and the kids are just left to deal with this stuff and they have to go to work on Monday.
No.
They're calling you desperate. They will call you with desperation.
Right.
I mean, we get these calls every single week.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. That's true.
They just want you to fix it at any price, right?
Exactly. Well, you know what, too? Here's another thing. They are afraid of the taxes, the property taxes. A lot of times, they really just want to get rid of it and get it off their plate. They don't want it. They've all talked about it. Nobody wants it, kind of thing. And they don't know what to do with it. And they know these tax bills are going to keep coming. And they're a little scared by them. So you really are solving a problem.
Ever since the downturn that we had, whatever, I think it was 5 years ago, in 11 or 12, 2011 or 2012, a lot of sellers I've spoken with said, you know what? I don't want to get behind on my real estate taxes because I don't want to go through a foreclosure.
Oh.
So they believe, and this is not true, they believe that they will personally be harmed in some way, their credit score or whatever, by the fact that you stop paying property taxes on a mortgage-free property,
right,
like rural vacant land. And that's just not the case. So what ends up happening, and I never realized this, what ends up happening when you send a bunch of mailers out, people are going to call you for legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to expect you to help them in exchange for the fact that you're going to buy some undervalued property. So be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I find so funny? They do call for legal advice all the time. And it's so funny that sometimes they'll call, they think they're calling the assessor. Like, we have something to do with it. They're calling and they discuss their taxes. Like, what the heck? It's hilarious. What I find interesting is, a lot of people don't know this. Okay, so property taxes, it's basically a non-event. The county's going to take it back. It's not going to be a ding on your whatever. It's going to go. But what's funny is an HOA, they'll take it back before the county. Isn't that interesting? If you don't pay, if there's HOA fees, they almost have, the way it's written, depending, why is that, Jack? It's like they're number one. They jump in before the county and take
because
the property.
Here's the real answer.
Yeah.
There's lien positions.
That's why. Why is the HOA before the county?
It's after the county.
That's why.
Property taxes.
They just jump in. They're aggressive.
Yes.
And they just do it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because HOAs are for-profit organizations, and they're usually a lot more organized than a county.
That's true. And they know how to follow the forms and just take the property.
Because they know if the county takes it back, they're in a secondary lien position.
Right.
They're never going to get their money.
Exactly.
So they have to file first.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Not really.
No, it's not. But funny, odd, not funny, haha. Thank you, Jack.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discussed establishing seller trust. Oh my gosh, Jill, it's show number 666. What the hell does that mean?
That's scary.
We should have skipped that one.
Whoa, we should have skipped that one, like the 13th floor.
Yeah.
And we answer your question. Should you have one? Post it on the jackjill.com. Online community, it's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That is 666. Scary. Thank goodness it's not like on a Friday. It wouldn't be funny if show 666 was Friday the 13th. Thank goodness that's not happening.
Oh, we're not. Yeah, it's not. I was checking when to see it airs, and it's not.
No,
that's
it
good.
Won't. We are good. So cool. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.